Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Episode 35.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure our number, our getting excited about what episode we're on, is slowly declining.
Right? It's like the older we become.
I think maybe 50 and 100 we'll get some.
Oh, God, we have to think about 50s now. Anyway, I'm one of your hosts, Nat, and as always, we have...
is Pat.
I'm Cat in Hat.
Cat in Hat.
Yay.
We're going to, once again, just switch things up, and we're going to start with the news. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to start with a big one. Ewan McGregor has been cast as Black Mask in the Birds of Prey film. So
has
he's
he
going to be.
Played anything since Star Wars? Am I crazy?
He was Christopher Robin this year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's Christopher Robin?
Yeah.
He's going to be Black Mask.
And he's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And he's Obi-Wan.
So,
wow. Talk about a versatile actor.
Yeah, that's that.
I mean, that's a hard left.
Yeah.
Speaking of hard things, it's supposed to be a hard R-rated movie, too.
You're welcome.
The Birds of Prey. I'm so interested to see where they go with this. DC has always been a hard R. Company.
Yeah, it feels like...
Why do they try to fit into the PG-13 crowd?
They're trying to make more money.
obviously.
Oh, damn.
It was an R-rated film that made quite a lot of money in the box office.
Yep. So
there's a movie called Deadpool that was a comic book movie even, you know.
That movie was amazing.
There's a lot of R-rated movies.
Even Ryan Reynolds came out and he's like, do not take your children to see this.
Yeah.
Everybody else go see it. Do not take your
children.
Except
for the PG-13 version of Deadpool 2 that'll be out this holiday season. Whatever. But Ewan McGregor, topic for another day.
don't say anymore.
I forgot
please.
About
I'm
that.
I'm going to go into a conniption.
But yeah, Ewan McGregor, I think that's major casting for one, just the caliber of actor that is to put into a DC film. So it lends it a certain level of credibility, you know, that's a big name, and hopefully he gets to go whole ham, like melodramatic, you know, go over the top villain. I would think that'd be really fun. I also am curious, now that you've cast such a high profile actor, do you do the traditional Black Mask skull face? Or is it more like he's the visage in public is like some sort of an actual black mask that he's wearing?
I was going to say, we're going to burn his face.
I don't know.
do something like a Two-Face thing.
Red
like
Skull
looking. Like from The Dark Knight.
Right.
I
guess they could Red Skull it. Like, I mean, you saw a lot of Hugo Weaving's acting through the Red Skull mask. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, no, that's...
What was the first thing I thought of when they cast him? I'm like, he's so pretty.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, what are you going to do to... Is he just going to do the mannerisms and they'll do some sort of CG skull? Like, it might be worthwhile. It might be a nice chance to take to just be, like, his body language and his voice, but it's, you know, it's a CG face. You know, like...
Yeah, I mean, why not? They can definitely do that. They have the technology. They've done it... already to great effect, so why not?
Have the technology to build him as Black Mask.
I am so glad you went where my brain was right there with you.
I was trying to not go full reference.
I had to. I couldn't help myself.
Oh my god,
that's fair. Well, what else do you have for us, Nat?
So sad DC news. Henry Cavill is no longer Superman, but he's now Geralt from The Witcher in the Netflix series.
Oh,
although he looks like he's. Cosplaying Geralt and not actually playing the character.
I thought he was, I mentioned it earlier, but I thought he was, supposed to be Elrond from Lord of the Rings.
Wah, wah.
I mean, and that's nothing against Cavill, and that's probably like the pre-pro wig.
It's not
wig.
His fault.
No, it's the wig. It's entirely the wig.
And it's like, and it's a cell phone picture, so you know, like lit properly and like with actual professional cameras, it's probably not going to look like that, but.
Yeah.
Woo, hell's up.
In the makeup chair.
Right.
You know?
It was, it's not as quite as jarring as seeing Starfire's wig for the first time, but, like, it's,
They say the camera adds 10 pounds of meh.
That's what you're gonna say, the camera adds 10 pounds of hair. Oh my gosh. So,
I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not a huge Witcher fan, I'm just mostly salty, because I'm just like, dude, fuck you, DC, right now, come on. That was my favorite Superman, you ass.
Well, we'll see what happens with that franchise. I'm actually really excited for the Witcher series, only because... the reason I would play The Witcher, not, you know, great gameplay withstanding, is the fact that the story seems really interesting.
The third one is apparently very good.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but positive from people, and, like, it's, you know, that magical world. You know,
I have the first one. I have the enhanced edition. I haven't played it. It's on my computer.
Yeah, I hear it's pretty immersive and expansive, which means that you can, in a world like that, you can take just about any story and make it compelling and...
It's also based on novels.
So we talked like about a it a while ago.
What was it? Yeah.
Anyways, before he said that no anymore to it, they're not going to do any more Superman movies or anything for a while. They're going to focus on Supergirl and stuff, which doesn't make sense to me.
Michael B.
I want him to be Valzad. I want them to introduce the Earth 2, like I said. But
that would be great.
Wild speculation. Actually, you know, if you guys are interested, we will do a speculation video on like where we want the DC universe to go.
Oh, nice. I will write a paper on that.
I already have my chalkboard all written up and pictures on the walls with strings connecting different movies.
Oh, so yours is like mine. There's just yarn all over the room.
See, me, I'll try to tie it to what films are already in development and how we can like actually link the stories together.
The Capes and Scales office is apparently just yarn.
You're right.
Yeah, we had to start using a second wall too, so it makes things really hard to move around.
I don't know, I almost feel like everywhere. I feel like we need a little bit of a from the TV show Heroes, just have some like giant paintings by Tim Sale of like explosions on the ground, like the apocalypse is coming.
Yeah, exactly. We're like gonna be like Foggy Nelson from the recent season of Daredevil. In that one scene, and he just has like,
oh yeah, all the papers covered. I actually just saw that scene. So.
I know, I just watched that too, like last night.
Awesome.
Oh man. Anyway,
what do you have, Patrick?
What do I have? Well, as a podcast, we just have to give a quick shout out to it was the 80th anniversary of the seminal War of the Worlds radio show by H.G. Wells. 1938 was when that was broadcast. So, you know, doesn't really have anything to relate to comic books or anything, but we just got to give
a
shout out.
It's like the original podcast of podcasts.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, you're talking about...
That one was insane, too, because I'm fairly certain that...
People thought it was real.
People thought it was real, and I think people actually killed themselves. No one actually is for sure, but...
Yeah, there was a few... there's an interesting story about how, like, newspaper conflated that story because they were concerned about radio being the new medium, but it was also still a pretty... Yeah, so there's... I can get into that, but I won't.
Something.
But I just got to give a shout out to H.G. Wells, the OG podcaster.
Yeah,
he was the first person to interrupt the show to bring you a fake show.
That's awesome.
You know, so that was
I mean, you're talking about geek culture. You know how big science fiction that is. So.
I guess that is true. It is H.G. Wells.
I wonder if he was like. Maybe you shouldn't. Disclaimer.
I don't know. Yeah, that would be interesting. I don't know if anybody has, if they've written anything like his reaction to the reaction of.
Yeah, no, there's a couple interviews out there with him that you can read or listen to where he talks about it. Basically, there's a few where he's like, it was a great success. It did everything I wanted it to. And there's a couple others where he's like, maybe we went a little bit too far with like, the specific, like, getting so specific into it about, like, you know.
Makes me think of the Futurama episode because they bring H.G. Wells in it. To do a similar thing of War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
And, that's just all I could think of. But I'm like, I wonder if maybe, you know, like, he's like wondering, maybe should have, like, I don't know, said something. I don't think if they knew.
Like some sort of a disclaimer at the end of the episode.
They did actually.
Oh, really? But people were so in it.
But at that point, yeah, because most of the panic was caused by people that weren't actually listening to it. And they just heard it offhand. I guess reportedly, most people... who were actually listening to it knew that it was fake, but then, like, it got extrapolated by other people who weren't actually listening to it.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's like, you know, everybody claims that they listened to it, but, like, actually watched, like, who actually saw, like, the... Everybody also claims they saw, like, the Twin Towers fall, but who actually was watching TV at, like, you know,
it's like
9 in
things,
the morning?
Things that become part of the zeitgeist. It's
I hate
like
to be
all...
this person, but I can answer that question.
Exactly. Well, there were a few, certainly, but, you know.
Well, my mom's from New York, so.
Yeah, yeah. So, obviously,
I'm from New York.
Yeah, but, You know what I'm trying. You know yeah. what I'm trying to say. Not nearly as many people.
Yeah, it's less than what is. Yeah,
but I still think that kind of makes it awesome that it that even though it was a small thing, it got just got inflated so much. Yeah. I don't know. Yay, podcast.
Social media before social media.
Yes, yes, right. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Anyway, do you have anything for us, Kat?
Yeah, because I'm gonna beat Nat to the punch because I want this so bad. Dragon Ball Super Goku balloon to fly at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I'm sorry, this is my shit. Every Thanksgiving, my ass is up in my pajamas on the couch watching the stamp parade, and I am excited.
I'm really surprised that they actually went with this.
I imagine you like jumping up and down too, dude, like holding a pillow and like excitedly, like yay!
I get so excited watching all the floats.
it's pretty cool. Like I was surprised by the choice to go with Super Saiyan God Goku.
That doesn't surprise me because right now, because they're putting out Broly in
January. Oh yeah, yeah, because it is part of the promotion for it. Like, yeah, is it? And I apologize, DBZ fans. It's been a while since I've like really dove into it.
I haven't been watching it mostly because I'm like, I hate the Japanese voice actor for Goku so much. I can't tolerate watching it in Japanese. So I have to let
That's
go
a controversial topic you just Dude, threw
I
out
know
there
I
right
did,
now.
And I don't care.
All I'm saying is the English voice actors for Dragon Ball Z, those are the best, like, YouTube clips to watch of just the voice actors in the booth saying the lines because they're just like, I mean, half of it's screaming. It is. So
I've met the voice actor for Vegeta, the Funimation actor.
Oh, yeah. Really?
He does Piccolo. He does so many characters. It's insane.
He was like media play back when, and they were just doing like a signing. They had like posters with.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so
that's awesome.
Random.
But fact. No, the fun part is they actually brought the animators in from it's like was it Toei Animation or whatever?
Toei.
Is it, yeah.
Toei.
Yeah. Yeah. They brought them in to actually help with all the colors.
Yeah, there's a video out there you can watch of them, like,
Funimation
actually
put it out, and I was like, yes!
It's pretty brilliant. Like, they go through the 3D model, like, they actually do a mock-up in, like, clay of the balloon
See,
pieces
See, and the other portion
together,
of it is, like, too, is, like, for the longest time, I've always been wondering when they start planning the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Right?
Every year, I'm like, so did they start
so
now
October,
on
So it's October, apparently. Like,
well, no, it's gotta be way further than that.
Oh, yeah, because there's a negotiation. The idea of actually having this
because everything's copyrighted.
Yeah,
but but he's going to be the first anime character to fly in a Macy's thing.
Oh, the first anime?
Yeah.
So and
they haven't
that
had like a Pikachu.
Yeah,
or he doesn't count though because. I don't know.
I guess theoretically you would call Pikachu a video game character first.
Yep.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
Dragon Ball Z is specifically anime.
Why he doesn't count. I didn't think about it, but I couldn't remember exactly what it was that I said it couldn't count for. But yeah, I'm super excited. I don't care. I'm just.
I was surprised by like I guess it's been a few years since I watched the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, but
the
level of detail in the balloon freaked me the hell out.
No, no, that's like, how they all are. It's crazy. Just seeing the fact that I could see. That I'm like, can I have like a thing to watch you plan this? Can you make a documentary
right?
So I can
it
see
looks
this
like it looks like Toriyama's art. Uh-huh. Like it's really insane.
Oh, wow.
Like how they got the forms correct. It was really
I honestly want to see their warehouse right now. Mm-hmm. It's just like a bunch of balloons hanging out in a warehouse tied to the ground.
Awesome.
That's funny. Well, cool. Nice. It's cool to see anime just in general gaining slowly more and more.
Well, they had the billboard for the new Broly movie actually in New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so yeah. Dragon Ball Z has made a lot of traction here.
Becoming
a
country full of nerds.
How are we on time? Because I kind of want to go on a little tangent here that if time allows, because I had a weird epiphany last night.
We're pretty good.
Okay, so I thought about this. We did our previews event last night, and all three of us were there. How comic books here are just like a storytelling medium, but so much of comic books and manga in Japan are like a gateway into then turning it into an animated film or series. And it was just like this weird paradigm here.
That's usually what it is.
Yeah, they usually need something out to basically get it licensed. And then
it's fascinating to me because like just thinking about and stylistically, most of the manga then translating into the anime, they match the style of the manga itself.
Well, actually, but the fun part is a lot of the stuff that I've seen is, like, you'll see the original manga in the first issue of something, Fairy Tales, because I read the first issue of the first Fairy Tale chapter ever. Mm-hmm. The art for before they moved it. I like the art more before they moved it to a different company. It's better than the original.
And really?
It's usually further down the line of the art that they use. It's gotcha. Really, I haven't. Dragon Ball Z, I don't know about, because he...
Dragon Ball looks like Toriyama's stuff from Dragon Ball. Like, that was very...
Yeah, his stuff is all very similar, because you can open up, because I have all of them.
Yeah, I noticed, like, if you want to... Basically, if you're Japanese and you want to have a movie made, you write a manga, mm-hmm. and then it's adapted into an anime, and then that's adapted into a movie.
Even,
and
right?
then,
not
if it's
even,
big
not
enough,
even
then it'll be adapted into a live action.
Right.
I mean, funny part is Sword Art Online started out as light novels, and then they transitioned
yes.
to manga.
Yes, oh, sorry,
and
I forgot that one.
And then they
really,
to that.
You really start with the light novel, then the manga adaptation, well, then anime, and then movie. Yeah.
I've been thinking about, like, Miyazaki stuff recently, and I was just thinking about the, like, Studio Ghibli... Like, Nausicaa was done as, you know, like, a newspaper strip and wasn't finished and then got optioned into a movie. And all of this stuff has, you know, Miyazaki's style. Like, the way that his he draws his facial features, that, like, that all translated into the films. And I just thought it was a weird paradigm because I was, like, looking at some of my comic books, like, some of my American comics going, how the hell would you try to adapt this into an animation style?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The other question too is you have to think with a lot of mangas, it's the same artist and the same story writer the whole time. Whereas for us, it's...
Yeah.
There's, like, how many different renditions of Wonder Woman? There's how many different renditions
of... I know, right?
The guy that
drew Naruto literally drew it until he died 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Yeah,
I know,
right?
He
was
even drawing...
Well, another interesting thing about, like, anime, especially in Japan, is not only all these licensing things, but they use... anime characters as celebrities to sell goods.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like I remember one of the best things I saw when I was in Japan.
I'd be so
was
broke in Japan.
was a poster for razors having one of the Attack on Titan people swinging in and
that
shaving a Titan's face. The Titan had shaving cream all over its face, and they were like, it was the most amazing thing ever. Unit 1 from Evangelion is the biggest fucking celebrity.
That's so crazy. And, like, Ava is such a mind job anyway.
Well, how do you,
like,
compete
that's...
with America when it comes to celebrities? Japan's like, I know!
Right?
these aren't even real!
It's such a weird, like, cultural thing. Like, I was thinking about the DC animated universe. Not the like, from BTAS. But from the, like, the New 52 stuff that they, like, started with Justice League War, that is almost the closest thing that we've had where, like, they take a stylistic choice, adapt the comics, and then, like, continue a universe.
They're actually the only ones that have, like, a similar art style. And
right,
all
and then...
I guess they're going to do that with Invincible, too.
That was the other one that was coming up because, you know, that... And for the most part, with the exception of the first two arcs, has the same creative team. Corey Walker couldn't keep up with the penciling duties, and it became Ryan Ollie's book. So I'm interested in seeing which style they lean towards. But
interesting.
But yeah,
yeah.
Sorry, weird tangent.
No,
but it's just like it's something
no,
that I
no,
thought
no.
about.
That's just that's the thing, though. Is that's like the main difference that because I had read so much manga and I read that since I was a kid, so I've always been like, it's the same people, whereas this, they're like, every six issues, oh, it's changing,
yeah.
It's different.
For our viewers at home, too, I just want to mention that when Kat said she read so much manga, she kind of, like, closed her eyes and, like, looked like she was almost having a stroke from the sheer amount of manga that she's read.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah, because I used to be that 13-year-old emo kid who just read manga all the fucking time.
Yeah, you kind of look like you were, like, instantly regretting, like, as you're saying it, how much manga you've read.
I'm pretty sure that I killed my laptop because I read so much manga.
Oh my god.
That's awesome.
That's
weird other tangent, manga is, like, the perfect vehicle for, like, cell phone reading. Because, you know, it's already a smaller size format.
Yeah.
And then you can, like, do the page, like, and it's black and white for the most part. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, is easy to get the like color processing. It's not. But anyway, the contrast is fine on the phone. Like, you can actually get the images. All right, moving completely away from that. I guess we'll stay in the realm of Japanese culture here and talk about Nintendo is in talks to develop a Legend of Zelda TV series with Adi Shankar as the showrunner or producer.
Yeah, Adi Shankar is currently the director or producer of Castlevania.
Yeah, he's producer and showrunner of Castlevania.
And showrunner. That's right. So, having seen that one bit of, like, I'm just interested to see where they go with this, honestly.
I like Adi Shankar. I like his ph- philosophy and the way he approaches things. I just, Zelda is really precious to me, and the thing that
it's a lot of precious to everybody, yeah. That's why I usually frown upon any kind of video game adaptation, because, like, I mean, Castlevania is great, but Castlevania in a video game, well, Castlevania is a video game. I shy away from it.
I saw a funny article before season 2 of Castlevania came out, and it was saying, it was, I think The Onion or something, it was season 2 of Castlevania to be the same, just upside down.
Oh my god.
How is this, like, I don't know, the same season, just like in reverse, oh, upside down.
That's the greatest reference to Castlevania on the PlayStation 1.
Never really talks either.
That's the problem I have, is like, what is the POV of the series? Mm-hmm. Because if we're telling a story of Link, I assume we have to have him talk at some point.
What if you did him as the, like, the silent protagonist, like, Afro Samurai style, you know, and then you could have Navi as, like, the ninja,
I guess, that's Afro. I hadn't really thought about that. Do you think it's doable? Do you think it is something that's...
You're gonna have a fairy.
I know this is weird because I'm a huge nerd, but I never actually finished any of the... I just played a little bit of The Legend of Zelda games.
I've only played Breath of the Wild,
yeah.
And that game's fucking
My connection to the lore... I know, Nat's over here, like, trying to Superman laser...
No, I'm just more like... I'm trying to count the number of Legend of Zelda games I've played,
and I'm
like...
Well, the other portion of it is, you know, I'm dating someone who knows the lore inside it. It's ridiculous.
Oh,
so
is...
She knows
is
so
Amy
much.
A,
she does.
Okay. Another side tangent. You talk about knowing the lore of Legend of Zelda. You know, we want to get the yarn strings out again? Because that is how the Legend of Zelda lore works.
She fucking knows all of it, too. It's crazy. Like, the other day, she was talking to me about it and reciting it to me, and I was like,
I need to have a conversation with Andy about this.
She won't have someone who's just blank staring at her.
Well, there's literally one of the games causes 3 separate timelines to occur because of the events.
I know that because she told me.
see, this is another thing.
And that's the other portion of it too. Just from the little bit that she's talked to me about, I don't know what they plan to do.
My assumption is that you somehow adapt Ocarina of Time. Like, that would be
probably
where I would start.
That's the most popular one, isn't it?
That is not an argument I am willing to have.
Fair enough.
All right,
that's fair. I should know better than to ask
this question. It's like, it's a good origin story for
on,
the
Kat,
lore
read,
of...
Come on, Kat, read the room here.
Okay. No, I should know better. I should know better.
It's like, I have my favorites in the franchise. They may not necessarily line up with the rest of the favorites.
Once again, it's along the lines of The Witcher. It's such an expansive universe, yeah, that they can really take just about anything.
And if
Nintendo it's one of those things, though. It's like one of those untouchable things.
Well, if Nintendo is involved in it, they could just do a separate story. And that would be quite kind of interesting, because of the way that the Legend of Zelda is sort of put together, is that it is the same story retold, and that's why it's, you know, the nomenclature is the way it is. It's the Legend of Zelda, so yeah. Like, how do we... Each time we can tell the story differently. They've attempted to link them all together, and there is some, like, tangential links that actually make sense.
Dude,
but a
lot
of
the crazy part is they have, because Andy's got some of the books
for
it, and it's, I'm just like,
there's books for it too.
Oh yeah, there's a book called The Hyrule Historia, and they go through, like, they actually put a timeline out, which was something
they
that fans have, like, we like. I'm hardcore into that sort of, like,
they
obsessive
also have
culture.
Some manga too that apparently ties in with all of it. It's fucking nuts. That's why I'm just like,
it's brilliant stuff too, because you start getting into this weird, like, now with the new stuff, like ancient technology. Yeah, it's great. Anyway, excited but trepidatious, I guess would be my...
Yeah, so I usually when it comes to stuff like this, I usually shy away from video game adaptations, because Assassin's Creed was terrible. Prince of Persia, I heard, was alright.
You guys are both named Mario? Yeah, he's Mario. I'm Luigi Mario.
Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, we should move on.
Yes, before we
that's
go around that
one. Just shut it now.
let's talk about, I got a little bit of The Walking Dead news. So,
it should just be dead.
Yeah, it should be dead. I know. I'm only putting it out there because this is still seminal in nerd culture. I don't know anybody that still likes this show. I don't know.
But anyway.
You know what? Okay, fair enough. Apparently there's one person out there that still likes The Walking Dead. Supposedly, man. I'm going to have to see a source on this one.
I'll show you the Instagram page.
Okay.
All right. Well,
yes. Apparently, in The Walking Dead, Andrew Lincoln, a.k.a. Rick Grimes, will be leaving the show or is leaving
left
the show.
Left last episode.
I don't care enough to know when he's not on the show anymore, apparently. But he will be doing
all Walking Dead fans that we're insulting right now. I don't know what to say to you. Read the comic.
Walking Dead fan. Yeah, Walking Dead fan. I'm sorry to you, the fan.
This is my Walking Dead fan. I am fanning myself with my notebook right now.
So apparently he's out of the show, but god damn it, he's in talks to do movies.
Three movies?
I just saw three
television movies. Having to do, I guess, with the newer storyline of what's going on.
Why?
He's taken somewhere else. I shouldn't have read that article.
Why?
I'm sorry. When I read that they're like, yeah, we want to do 10 more years of Walking Dead. I'm like, you're a horrible human.
Is AMC also going to produce a second Talking Dead show that's going to be talking about the movies of The Walking Dead and then they're just gonna have like 8 hours of straight Walking Dead per day? Is that what they're planning? AMC, what is your plan?
This to me reeks of AMC being disconnected to the culture right now.
Like, well, yeah, they killed off like all the fucking characters.
Well, they're also like, we jokingly said there's one fan, but like literally, we're the core audience. I work at a comic book store. I'm here at Griffin talking.
I love zombie titles.
No one
love zombie titles.
No one is actually watching this show anymore.
No,
like
no,
I don't understand.
I'll read the comics. I won't watch the show anymore.
I mean, I guess it still has like. I guess I am being unfair because it did have something like 1.something million viewership for the new season premiere.
But that's like halved of what it used to be.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying I know there is more than one fan. But there is getting closer to one.
This is all I have to say to you. If you're watching The Walking Dead, read the comic instead. You'll think
better. Oh my god, yeah.
Send us a message and tell us why you're still watching The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Actually,
I mean,
interestingly enough.
Yeah.
Like, that
I'd
be
inclined to agree.
Yeah. I would love to have somebody who is in it, like, loving this to come on to the show with us and discuss, like, what is it that's still drawing you to
this
series?
See, and I'm just
going to
go walk out there and go get all the Walking Dead comedians and just be like, just...
But who's to say this isn't somebody who's already reading them?
See, and that's the curious part, though, because if you look at...
But I know so many people that own the compendiums.
Yeah.
Like, so many...
They're a lot better than the show.
Yeah, and then And most of the people that own the compendiums will tell you that they stopped watching the show at season X for X reason.
Yeah.
And that's basically what happened to me, because I read the first one, and I read the second one, and then I read the third one. I was like, why? Don't watch it. Because when I was dating my ex at the time, like, why are you watching this? What do you mean? Read these.
Yeah.
You'll thank me later. She never read them, and then just kept watching the show, and I'm like, whatever.
But I guess also the actors that play Daryl and...
This is how much we care about this show. We can't name a main character.
I'm going to forget her name. It's the older chick with short white hair.
Either.
Carol?
Carol!
Ah! There we go. That's
Coral.
Coral. Coral?
Oh, God, no.
But I guess, both of them upped their contracts right as Andrew Lincoln left to be on the show till it dies. AMC, you ended Breaking Bad, which was one of the most amazing moves to do in television. That still blows my mind.
You
want to
think
that you had the balls
too,
to end it. And this one, you...
I think I saw something
right
this morning
that
they're going to do a movie.
A Breaking Bad movie?
It's going to be a sequel.
See, I'm not opposed to that, because Breaking Bad ended the story where it needed to end. Whatever they do after that is companion material.
Well, that's why I didn't understand why they weren't ending it when the literal main character of all of it left.
When once Carl died in The Walking Dead, why didn't the show end there? That should have been the end to the show. This should have been the end of the show, Andrew Lincoln leaving.
Yeah.
Now, there could have been so many good ends, and it's not.
It's just still going.
Problem with American TV. That is, or American storytelling.
I mean, I hate being this person, but The Simpsons, same thing. I haven't watched The Simpsons in years because it's.
But once again, that's what I love Breaking Bad so much. It's a good show. It's a very good show. I don't want to downplay it, like any part of it. But that for me is the best part, that they ended it.
Yep.
That it ended. Yep. That blew my mind that they ended it.
Patrick's just standing in his living room like, what?
I'm a big fan of The Good Place, and I hope they're writing to an end. Like, that's yes. I would be perfectly fine with that seeing 3 seasons and done. Like,
I was reading
to me when they did Once Upon a Time, and they came out season 7 after season 6 after the
end.
the literal end.
I was reading Wicked and Divine, the new trade paperback, and it ended with a note from the author saying that they're ramping up to the end, and I was so excited for that because I actually picked up this volume and I was like, man, I hope this story doesn't go on forever, just because I know. It will conclude satisfyingly if they do. And so he was saying, hey, thanks for sticking up. We got one more story arc to go or something like that. And I was like, what? One more? And then it's going to be done? That's amazing. I love it. It has to die on its own.
Stories need to have an end. I mean, that's...
The point of a story.
Yeah. It needs to reach some sort of conclusion, whether it's satisfying or not.
Everybody hates that friend that just can't end a story.
Oh, my God. I was literally going to say that. Oh, man, yes. Those people that just say a bunch of things, and then you're like, and? And then they're like, no, that's it. Man, the other day I went to the grocery store and I bought, like, 5 apples.
And?
And?
Apparently those persons in the math problems.
Yes!
It's like, wait a minute. You bought 5 apples? How does that weigh correct? Yeah. It's like, you gotta get that 6th one in order to balance the weight.
But if there's,
you know?
6 people, how do you
Well, you cut the apples in half, and then you got more apples for when the people leave.
What have I done?
Kat, take us out of here.
let's jump to legal stuff, because there's, like, a bunch of lovely legal stuff going on. So we'll start with Mark Waid. So obviously he's being sued. I found out the name of the guy, too. His name's Richard Meyer.
That's suing him?
Meyer or something like that. M-E-Y-E-R. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. He accused Mark Waid of basically, like, defamation of character with a... Oh, shit, what's it called? With a comic publishing agency saying that it was his fault his deal didn't go through because he said that...
Oh, those are the damages that he's suing for?
Yeah, because apparently Mark Waid had... defamed him to these people, and unfortunately for him, I haven't seen anything that he said, so I don't know.
AKA Mark Waid was like, "You little bitch," and he's like, "No, I'm not. Stop."
So he's apparently it's been said that he's said in some inflammatory things. I have no idea what he said. Not a damn
Waid or Meyer.
Meyer.
Okay.
I'm sure he's said all sorts of things. I'm sure if you juxtapose their comments to each other, it would be so crazy.
Well, no, he said inflammatory things, like, on the internet about diversity in comics and stuff like that, and that's why I think that's why the publishing agency said, we're not publishing your comic or whatever.
Yeah. And Mark Waid probably
one publishing agency said they're not publishing his comic, and that was a last resort.
Yeah, and basically his lawyer is just saying, you have no jurisdiction over my client. He's in California. You filed it in Texas. You want to come file it over in California? We'll be
waiting. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
So they didn't even file it in the same... Oh, my god.
They're basically just trying to get it dismissed over jurisdiction, which, honestly, yeah. I think it's a pretty built-up case, pretty good case, because he has absolutely no ties to Texas.
Knowing writers in general, they're just, fucking sue me, man. Do it. I fucking dare you to goddamn sue me. Do it. He's just, like, standing over there, like, come at me, like, seriously.
I don't really know. I don't know what he said. The end game is I think he'll probably get him dropped just because he has absolutely no ties to Texas.
I'm starting to get real sick of this story, and a lot of it's coming from reading comments on articles. This is, like, a great representation of the vitriol that exists within pop culture right now, and responses, it becomes it becomes a Comicsgate discussion, and people start bullying each other on
the It's disgusting. On the end note of it,
check out our episode about toxic fandom.
Yeah, exactly. I will say this: if you're going to gatekeep comics, they're gonna die.
Yeah,
straightforward. They will die. It's basically what it is. They will die, and at that point, I'll be pissed at you.
if you want male Thor, go read the male Thor book. If you want female Thor, go read the female Thor book. They exist. They're not going away. They're two books that you can go to the shelf and buy.
So let's see. Like I said, it probably started out one way, and just because of how twisted people are, it ended up in somewhere completely different. It goes with everything, anything good or bad anymore.
Hot garbage.
Pretty much. So, I said, Endgame, you gatekeep comics, they will die.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially to Mark Waid. He's only given us beautiful, brilliant books.
Yeah.
Why him?
Yeah.
Why him?
Well, because, you know, he celebrates diversity and has different cast members in his comic books. Anyway, right? Next bit of news.
I love it. I love the champions.
Round two. I guess this one will be more of a PSA because I have a huge thing with it. But Boom Studios cancels Husband and Husband webcomic publication after claims of plagiarism for another web series, Spellbound copies. Check, please. So, PSA, do not ever plagiarize anything ever. I don't care. Like, do that, you will literally ruin your writing career.
Coming from a writer's perspective, sometimes that happens on accident.
Yeah.
I once accidentally wrote a 20-page version of Fight Club, and I showed it to a friend who promptly asked me, why are you writing Fight Club fanfic? And then I promptly discarded that entire short story. It happens sometimes.
I think the general conversation is, when you love something and you put it or you reference it in your work, be conscious of the fact that you are referencing it and not copying it.
Yeah.
If you're doing an homage, that's one thing. If you're doing a conscientious homage, that is definitely one thing versus straight up plagiarizing versus accidentally plagiarizing.
And in the comic book world, there are two different layers of plagiarism that can happen, and that's the writing and the panel-for-panel layouts of characters.
I think it was the writing. That's probably what it was.
Well, but there's a lot of great artists that do homage scenes, you know, and those are really cool whenever you come across
and
those.
Usually you'll see after
the insane parts of all of it is so the original art, I can't say her name, it's like N-G-O-Z-I is her first
Ngozi.
Name and then U-K-A-Z-U U-K-A-Z-U.
I'd have to read it.
Like,
I don't have it in front of me.
Anyways, she came out saying that, you know, you plagiarized my stuff. They apologized, and then an hour later, all of this on Twitter, mind you, an hour later, Boom Studios says we're canceling it.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, at least they apologized.
Yeah.
Or they apologized.
It was a pretty fast interaction, honestly.
I think there was enough people posting, like, one-to-one comparisons that were like, okay.
And I feel like even though they did mess up, I feel like that's better just be like, yeah, I messed up. Might be.
Yeah. Well, the shitty part is the comic that they were getting published, it wasn't that comic that was the one that was plagiarized. It's a different one.
It creates a number of questions where the work is coming from.
Oh, so they're stopping a new
title
because of past plagiarism.
Yep.
Okay, I see.
Whether
what you're
it's
saying.
Past or not, I don't know which one came first, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either way.
And we'll finish it up with the Satanic Temple threatens to sue Netflix.
I've got one more after this.
Yeah,
over chilling adventures of I'm going with the legal speak right
okay.
now.
Yeah.
All the legal
oh, yeah.
crap.
All the legal jargon. Nice.
So the Satanic Temple threatens to sue Netflix over chilling adventures of Sabrina for their statue in the Academy of Unseen Arts that apparently plagiarizes their copyrighted monument.
Oh, it absolutely does. 100%. When I first started watching the show and they showed that, actually, because I'd seen the statue before because of other news stories I've heard based on it before Sabrina came out. And so I saw that and I was like, ooh, nice, like, actual, like, homage to a thing in real life. I thought that was pretty cool, but then I guess the Satanic Temple, is it? Because there's, I believe it's the Church of Satan, too, is a different group. who put out another statement saying that some of their members like it, others don't, you know,
well, say so lobby. His, basically with his tweet, and it kind of made me a little salty just for how it is, especially considering the last legal battle they just went through over shit. His tweet was, Lucien Graves, the co-founder of the Satanic Temple, his says, yes, we are taking legal action regarding the chilling adventures of Sabrina, appropriating our copyrighted monument designed to promote their asinine satanic panic fiction. In my opinion, it makes fun of all religions, so get over your high horse.
I know.
I will say
whatever.
That.
We'll see. Be that we'll, person. See, we'll see what they do. I mean, they could very easily just change the statue with CG, because it looked like it was mostly CG.
I have no idea.
Or whatever. I mean, they could
have
very
to, like,
easily
pause
change
it and
the design.
Look.
Yeah.
Yeah, even just a little bit to get it out of copyright, but...
Or Netflix will just settle out of court.
Yeah, either that or the Satanic Temple has nothing on Netflix is legal.
Yeah.
I was even thinking legal. I was like, money-wise, they're like, okay.
Yeah. Here, Bo, build a new statue.
What do you mean, like, $10 million? Is that how much statues cost these days?
Yeah.
I just pull out the wallet.
little checkbook.
Yeah. Well, I have, I guess I have a couple, like, quick hits of news. They just cast Swamp Thing and his...
Alter Ego,
yeah.
Alec
Hound?
No,
I cannot read
no,
my...
Nothing.
I cannot read my handwriting today.
Nothing.
Wow. So, apparently, Andy Bean is going to be Swamp Thing
that name
and
is,
Derek Myers...
I don't even know what to do with that name.
...is going to be the
Bean.
Alter Ego.
I'm just really hoping that the gentleman who's playing... Swamp Thing actually gets to be the voice of Swamp Thing as well, and it's not just one of those things where he's just playing the body.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, that would be really cool. I mean, like, I was just looking at him, and he definitely looks like he has the, like, the stature for a...
Which leads us to believe that they were going to put somebody in some sort of a plant suit and actually have him be on set, and it's not going to be a CG character.
Yeah.
Actually going to be...
Sweet, are we going to go back to that with awesome costume makeup and says CGI-ing everything? Because I'm down. I'm game.
Doom Patrol!
Yeah. Yes! Oh, my goodness. Let's see. And, yeah, I've seen some preliminary, like, things about it, and everyone's only talking positively about it. Speaking of only positive reviews, She-Ra also is going to be launched next week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's close.
2 weeks. It's either next week or 2 weeks.
Is
but the 16th? Yes. But that's also, I was going through the news feed last night, and that was like every third article I was reading.
Celebrate
was,
your Thanksgiving with the Goku balloon and She-Ra.
Yeah, yeah. And She-Ra, apparently, which is going to be like one of the breakout hits. Of this,
oh,
of this
my
season.
God, Netflix is too much stuff.
I know.
Right?
And then
I just walked away. I was like, ah.
Yeah, my last bit of quick news is that Ms. Marvel issue number 37 is going to be, or sorry, yeah, 37 is going to be pushed back 7 weeks. Apparently, because G Willow's health is deteriorating a little bit, but
I mean, all she does is work, so I'm not shocked.
Yeah, I mean, she's writing 3 books right now.
Exactly.
At the same time.
Point made. You just made my point.
Her other 2 books are still scheduled for the same release dates, though.
She just probably hit the point where she's like, I can't work 22 hours a day. Yeah. I gotta nap like 5.
Yeah. And she's still writing books and doing all that other stuff too. She's crazy. Right, writers in general are crazy. All of you writers out there, firstly, come in and talk to us. Secondly, it's fine to take a day off.
Yeah.
It is.
But, yeah. Speaking of writers, Grant Morrison has signed a TV deal with Universal. They're going to do TV shows based on his comics as well as original TV projects. One of the first things in development is an adaptation of his comic book series, The Invisibles, and that's set to release in 2020. So that's going to be rush production then. That means that it's going to be filming in 2019.
Can't even handle his comics and how much they connect continuity, and now you're going to give me a TV show?
God. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Grant Morrison. so this
well,
is like
we'll talk,
psychological
we'll talk more
TV.
About, we'll talk more about Grant Morrison here in a bit.
But I would say honestly though, like real quick shout out to Marguerite Bennett. She is awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this, but I read an article last night. She actually studied under Scott Snyder for school for writing.
Oh, did she?
And that was the first book she wrote with him was a Batman annual. I was just like, and you are my hero.
what's she working on right now? Do you know?
More than Power Rangers.
She has a couple of her own, which I didn't realize. One of them is called Animosity. I can't remember what the other one is.
Okay, I think I've
and there are three Aftershock. So she's working on Good, nice. Good for you. She wrote Batwoman too, so I'm like, I love you.
But, right, because y'all crazy. Yeah. Exactly. Y'all crazy.
All right, well, we shall move to the top of the stack here. And so this is beholding to Patrick's rules. These are either the first book we read last week or the first book we read this week, what we chose. So I consciously made a decision on this one. Pat, you want to start though?
Yeah, sure, I can go this week. Man, it was hard for me. Because I always put the one I read last week and the one I read this week next to each other.
Like, which one I would want?
Yeah, exactly. So, my top of the stack this time would be Hex Wives. This is issue number one from Vertigo, written by Ben Blacker and art by Mirka Andolfo. So
why do I know that name?
Why do we know that name? Because maybe we've talked about Unnatural way too much on this show.
I don't have a problem. You have a problem.
Yeah. So I picked this up because of Andolfo and because it's a Vertigo number one, which has just been blowing everything out of the water. And this continues to blow everything out of the water. Hex Wives basically follows actual witches that kill people for hundreds of years and then are basically somehow through some weird rituals mind controlled into being stereotypical 50s housewives by witch hunters. So yeah, they're all doing, I don't know, it's funny to see them like just massacring people in the beginning.
I read that one too, and I just, every time I think about it now, is I just go back to the one scene in there where she walks out in a blizzard without a top on, and I'm like, no!
Well, I mean, she's a witch.
I know she's a witch, but in the end,
she
like,
can do whatever
me,
she wants.
For me, I'm like crawling on the inside because I'm like freezing. Cold. So really? For me, it's just like an automatic reaction of just like, I need a jacket.
Really, you weren't concerned with her being topless. You were concerned with her being topless, but not the very next panel where she stabs a guy in the neck with a tiny pitchfork.
In my defense, that's been the whole comic so far. I'm already there.
Okay, no, that is fair.
It was just the visceral action of that's cold. That's fucking cold outside.
It is, but she's a witch. She has magic. I don't know.
Magic heat powers.
At least that's what I took from it. But yeah, it is. I'm really interested to see where this is going. That's all I have to say about that.
Awesome.
Now, what do you have for us?
So I'm actually going with Outer Darkness number one. Is what I read first this week. It is a Star Trek-like story. It reminded me a lot of the J.J. Abrams Star Trek, in fact, where like the crew is sort of taking a mutiny to survive, but it makes a time jump after those events because our first mate who gets a new ship, but he's like, it's a convoluted story.
It reminds me a lot, actually, of Discovery. The new Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
Series.
And I haven't actually seen Discovery. No.
Yeah. It's a very. That's what I had, but awesome. Similar.
It's written by John Layman, art by Afu Chan, which is really awesome because this super cartoony style that lends itself to this really serious topic. And there's a major twist with what the God Engine is. I really liked this issue. I honestly like this vied for my favorite issue of this week. And I'm really interested in seeing where this goes because artistically, it's just so much fun to look through it. They also actually reference the Outer Darkness, which is from it's a biblical verse.
Is it?
I think, yeah. It's,
I didn't get that.
I'm pretty sure
that went over my head. I guess
if I have a special copy of this and not the individual the main issue, so I'd have to look and read it. But I think it's in the byline.
Yeah, your copy is different than mine.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find it, and I'll just read, because I think it has the verse that it's from.
Oh, like
oh,
in
gosh.
The beginning?
Yeah.
There?
Oh, yeah. And cast worthless servant into the outer darkness, in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:30.
Totally missed that part somehow.
Yeah. But I loved it. I think this is an easy pick for me to say. If you like sci-fi stuff and you know, adult sci-fi, then yeah, go for it. Definitely. All right, well, what about you, Kat?
So the person who hates space so very, very much. My top of the stack was The Green Lantern number one by Grant Morrison and Liam Sharp. I will say this straightforward. Trying to read and look at all the pretty pictures in depth at the same time doesn't work, and it's upsetting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't work, and it's sad, and it makes me sad.
Maybe that's why I wasn't able to get as much out of it as I was hoping. I've never read a Green Lantern title before, and I picked it up just for the giants that are on this. But
well, the other thing is too is it makes me think back to Batman Brave and the Bold with Wonder Woman and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, even his panel stuff in here is still fucking pretty, and it's not like it's super
abstract.
Not even abstract. I was just thinking simple.
Gotcha.
I couldn't think of, yeah, good, go me. But yeah, it's just super simple, and I'm still like looking at all the borders and stuff. I'm like, wow, they're so cool. I'm like, but it's, man.
I love his choice to make like the alien technology very Giger-esque. Like, there's a lot of, like, sinew and, like, wires hanging through things, and, like, stuff looks very organic.
Dude, when he makes when they have the weird, like, virus Green Lantern that apparently just makes snot come out of every orifice.
You know what I love about Grant Morrison's writing? Is how absolutely ridiculous, like, the names are. They're, like, something that you would say when you're trying to, like, pitch a story. You know, like, it's like, yeah, it's Gwyn Lanthorm and the Flutophlem. Flutophlem is the Green Lantern of
the virus
snot.
One, yeah.
Yeah. It's like just made up words. Like he's not trying to be serious about it.
No.
I mean, to me that was actually the best part of this book. I love that in hard sci-fi especially when they're dealing with aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they, you know, they do this in Voltron a lot too. You're like, why does every other species know how long an hour is?
Right.
They would have no idea.
Yep.
They would have something like a Flutophlem.
Yeah, exactly.
He won my heart. Like, my favorite part in this comic is just the very corner of the, like, about in the middle of the book when they're destroying the Earth or whatever. Space police!
Yeah. Literally just yell space police.
I just wanted, honestly, all I heard in my head after that was, I'm a space cop!
Yeah, there was, I don't know, there's the thing that really drew me into this book is how many pages could be a poster. It's like,
absurd. I got to this part of it and I was like, well, now I need to go, anybody got a copier? I need a poster
right?
for this.
Yeah, so. Wow, that's, there's so much going on, both storyline and artistically, that, like,
this is something, though, I would honestly have to say that I'd have to, like, actually ask someone about, because of how Grant Morrison is as a writer, where he connects everything in continuity. The very end, I mean, spoiler alert, the very end piece of it, you see, like, a Hal Jordan, I don't even know what you would call that, but he's got a yellow suit on.
Yeah, it's yellow and black, and he's, like, strapped into some
machine, getting dissected, basically. Which is, like, the fear one.
And it seems as if it's happening concurrent with the other stuff, so I don't know if it's him.
So, I just gotta say before we go on, I'm probably not gonna continue reading this book, just because I have no goddamn idea what's going on.
I'm not in a bad way,
I just have no clue about Lantern lore. This is the first Lantern book I ever read.
I have no clue either. I don't even care.
I knew that Grant Morrison wasn't really going to give us a jumping in point, like a stepping off point, but I didn't realize.
He's like, your stepping on point is the edge over here where it's just a black void.
Just by picking up the book, you're already falling.
Yeah.
So. I don't know, like, anyway, I love this.
Do you have any, like, last comment, because I don't have a
all I've got is space cat.
I would echo cat and say
I would
that.
Read it. It's I don't know much about lanterns, honestly, for me personally. All I really know is Hal Jordan is a dick, and he definitely made him a dick.
when you go in to read this, remember that Grant Morrison has a history of trying to make an attempt to connect everything. Don't feel compelled to know everything.
No.
If you want to deep dive, go ahead and do so, but otherwise, just let it wash over you.
Honestly,
that's
you could
probably good
Google
advice.
I wanted
to know everything. I went in there hoping to know everything.
Honestly, I'm pretty sure you could probably Google that end piece, and someone has already explained.
Yeah, there's
it.
Probably some analytics to
so,
what's going
so
on.
So we'll probably like help. So Google helps.
Yeah,
cool. All
so, right.
Anyway, I guess if you guys don't have anything else to
say, I think
we're
good.
Well, then let's say goodbye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.